Hey, Columbine. I'm so excited to be here with you today and to get to share a reflection sermon on one of my favorite passages. I think it's a timely passage. I hope it connects with you and that you find encouragement in today's message. The theme of our message today is the question, where are you? Where are you? It's couched in this sermon series that we're doing on getting back in the game. Getting back in the game, why? Well, because things have changed dramatically in the last year and a half since COVID. Jobs have changed, schools, our societies, how we do things. Also, our perspectives have changed. It's unrealistic to think that we could go through this type of a seismic shift in our culture and in our communities without personal change as well. So the question, as we go through this getting back in the game, we're looking at us personally, Columbine, and then how do we love our community? So me, we, and the community. Where are we? And how do we get back in the game? So today we're looking at where are we? And our story comes from 1 Kings 19. It's about Elijah. Elijah is one of the prophets that comes after kind of the strong reign of the kings. So Solomon is the last of what we would say are the strong kings. And then there's an era of prophets. And Elijah is one of the first of the prophets. Elijah, in this passage today, has gone up against the prophets of Baal, and he has killed them because he's won a battle against them. And so now this evil king and queen, of course, which makes a great plot, Jezebel, want to kill him. And so Elijah goes into the desert a day, goes to sleep under a broom tree, and says to God, "I'm ready to die." Well, Elijah is woken up by an angel who gives him bread and water and says, "Eat this. You'll need it for your journey." After eating and drinking, Elijah gets up and continues 40 days and 40 nights into the desert wilderness to Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God, and crawls into a cave. This is Elijah's hiding moment. I wonder if you can relate to a moment of hiding. As a child, did you ever attempt to run away or hide? As an adult, are there days where you just want to hide? Where do you go when you want to hide? So I was thinking about this passage. I remembered a story from when I was a child that my mom had said, "Hey, I'm going to go take a nap with your sister and just play quietly." And I was terrified by a sound. I was sure something was going to get me while the house was all quiet. And so we had bunk beds that I shared with my sister, but no one was in my room. And under the bunk beds, you could pull out these drawers and slip under beneath them and then pull them back in. Well, thinking that was the best way to hide from the boogeyman that was surely going to get me, I crawled under the bunk bed and fell asleep. Well, underneath the mattress and behind the drawers, I could not hear my mom calling me. So when she woke up from the nap, she was sure I was gone. By the time I woke up, I crawled out from under the bed, and I remember looking out the window and hearing people walking and biking up and down the street calling my name. It wasn't really until I walked out and found my mother hysterical that I realized that she had thought that I had left the house or been kidnapped or something and had organized a neighborhood to try to find me. We can all relate to this, though, not only as children, but as adults, this wanting to hide. So hear this passage now from 1 Kings, verse 8 of 1 Kings 19. He got up and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And at that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah answered, "I have been zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Here's the part of this passage that you may know. Verse 11, God says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? God goes on to hear Elijah's despair, feelings of aloneness, and to say, hey, I've got a job for you. Keep going. It's interesting, in this silence, the King James Version says, in the silence, a still small voice spoke. The Common Translation says there was a sound, a quiet, a thin sound. It's kind of interesting to think about what happened. And so here we have Elijah ask this question by God, what are you doing here? To me, it seems like we have to ask the question, though, before we can even know what we're doing somewhere. To ask the question, where are we? Where are you? Where are you? Elijah, in this passage, is overwhelmed, fearful, maybe tired. I hear despair in Elijah's voice. He's running and he's ready for his life to be done, because why? He doesn't see a way through. So the question we have for us today is, where are you? Do you feel like you're hiding? Do you feel like you're tired? Has despair crept into areas of your life where you don't see a way forward? One of the ways I think it's helpful for me to think about where am I is to think at least about the different components of my life. To break it out into categories and to sit down and to slow down and to find a silent place. I have a little map for you. If you were at Chatfield at the Audubon Center, I would have made you do this with us as an exercise. But here's my where are you map. So I have where are you, and I have four categories. Where am I? Where am I mentally? The questions that go with my mind is, where am I learning? What is inspiring me? What am I reading? What media intake am I having in my life, and how does that impact me? And so I will sit down and sit here and think about, what am I consuming in my mind? Another one is my body. Where's my body? Am I in pain? Am I taking care of my body? For me, oh my goodness, I don't drink water, and I have been starting to try to drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. Do you know what a challenge that is? It's so good for me, though, to do. Body is one of the things I've really had to slow down and ask myself, am I taking care of my body? Where am I not taking care of my body? Where am I? Where is my spirit? Where is your spirit? Where are you taking time to connect, to meditate, to grow, to sit with God in a still small voice and silence? The last category I had is where are you is relationships. Who am I connected to that is inspiring, encouraging? Who am I connected to that is exhausting and draining? Where are my boundaries? Who am I investing in? Who do I care about? I had a friend that said to me, I have a couple of really difficult friends, and during COVID, I've realized I only have space for two or three difficult people. The rest need to be life-giving. And I just laughed, but it's so true that it's helped us take stock of who do we want to be relating to, encouraging, who is on our team, who do we want to be in relationship with, and who do we need to limit relationships. So that's my where are you. Take time to do something like this. As we think about the where are you in this passage, Elijah is discouraged. He's hiding. He's lacking a way forward. I think it's an important reminder for me, and I would encourage you to remember in this day, that in this story and throughout the Bible, God comes and reminds people in their best moments and in their worst moments, in their hiding, in their fleeing, in their feeling overwhelmed, God says, I see you. I see you. I see the mess that you feel like you are in, and I am with you. And God doesn't make it perfect. God doesn't solve it. Just because God shows up, there aren't always miracles that resolve our problems. And yet, you know what it is? The Spirit of God is with us. And more than that, acknowledges where we are and the hardness or the joy. God is with us in it. So God shows up and says today, where are you? Where are your places of joy? Where are your places of life? Where are your pieces of grief? What is healthy and life-giving for you, and what needs to be called out? Elijah would say, where are you hiding? Where have you found a cave and crawled in? What are the places where you've given up or lost hope? I think in this journey, one of the first steps to moving forward is to just acknowledging it. Acknowledging our places of despair. And so, if you go back and read this story, here it is that Elijah, 40 days, 40 nights, just like our important 40 number in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, God meets him in his place. And guess what God says? Hey, I've got work for you to do. I want you to take a really difficult journey from Mount Horeb, which is in the south, to the north. Am I going to say this wrong? There's north and south and south and north. He has to journey to Damascus, which is on the other end of the region. And he has to go and anoint a new king, and he will find his protege, his next prophet, Elijah, who will continue in the journey. God's pep talk is, hey, there's a difficult journey ahead. I'm with you. But I see the road ahead, and I will make a way, even in the difficult things. I don't know that that's always a message we want to hear. But these are the words that come to Elijah. Get up. Keep going. And this too, there is this message that there is a community. There's a community of faithful that are left. All is not lost. In this journey, it's a great reminder that no matter where we are given a community. And community is so important for us as we move forward. I wonder where your sense of community is today. For some of you at Columbine, or maybe you're just visiting today, you may feel like you really don't have a sense of community, of people that you feel like you're connected to and who are on your team. Others of you may feel like you've got your group, a small group, or a couple friends, your people who are there to encourage you and journey with you, the people that can share your joys in your moments of despair when we can't see the way forward. I would encourage you again of the power of community, that God's grace and the spirit of life and hope and inspiration comes through the people that we are with so often. In our places of hiding, we're called back into the light of community. And so if you don't feel like you have a community, help us figure out how to find community for you. I believe that that is a lifeline. I know in my life, I have to have community. I have to have peers. I have to have other pastors and friends and parents who help me figure out how to make my way forward, to continue to learn and to laugh at all of my mistakes in this journey of life. As I think about this story, it's also pretty wild that it all begins with Elijah curling up under a broom tree and going to sleep, and an angel appears and brings him water and bread. I don't know if you believe in angels or not, but it is a mysterious picture of provision. And so in this passage, we have provision. We have this acknowledgement that God knows where we are, sees us in our places, in our ups and our downs, in our places of hiding, and God is with us in those places. And then beyond that, God invites us out of those places to acknowledge where we are. But this journey in our life of transformation means that we never stay right where we are, that our life is part of a journey of growth and learning and expansion. And even when we don't want to move forward, God shows up and says, come on, one foot in front of another, let's keep going. I see the way, even when you don't. And I have work for you, even when you feel like you're ready to retire, right? You're ready to be done, and you want to move on. God says no. You know what this means? That there is purpose, that there is a promise, that you are uniquely you. And God has a vision for you of how you can use your gifts to do something in this world that only you can do. And you know what? The world around you, your community, your neighbors, Columbine, we need you to be you. And so in this, God acknowledges where you are, invites you to keep going with a special purpose of where you are called to be. Where are you? I wonder if this is sort of like a halftime. The locker room at halftime chat. We see how the first half of the game went, but gosh, we're just not even quite sure about the second half. Do you ever feel like that? You're not quite sure if you want to get back out there on the field and keep going. Sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, I get it. The mom's group right now is reading Dusk, Night, Dawn by Anne Lamott, and she talks about, with all that's going on in the world that feels overwhelming, how do we continue with hope? I haven't finished the book yet. I'm excited to read it because I think that's a question we're all asking. But for today, where are you? It's really hard to know where we're going or where we want to go or to see progress when we wander aimlessly in the woods without knowing where we are. And so I encourage you to take time. And I know time feels really difficult. It feels difficult to slow down, to find silence, to pull out a journal, to go on a walk, to be quiet. Maybe like me, you map out how are you doing with some categories. Take some time in this journey to listen and to do the self-work of asking this question. I think this is a question that I need to ask and we need to ask over and over again. Where are we? What are we doing? What are we doing here? In that question, I believe that God will meet us. I believe that that question is pregnant with possibilities of new life and new growth and perspective as we continue to make the way forward. So thanks for being here in this conversation today. Thanks for being here in this journey. I'm excited to talk about this, what it is to get back in the game together. As I hope that as an individuals and as Columbine, we get to let go of the past, of things that weren't significant or meaningful, and lean into things together that really matter to us as individuals and to us as a community of faith, faithfully following and seeking what God is doing each and every day.